and welcome to Co-Ed Co-op. Here today with you is myself, Keith Badger.
And Amy Isaac.
All right, and we're here to talk to you about all the heroes and villains that you love, be it comics, movies, books, or video games. We're here to talk about all those people. Starting off today, we decided we wanted to talk a little bit about comics, since we didn't really get into anything very comics heavy last episode. And the biggest thing that we wanted to start with was the direction that Marvel is going nowadays. Some of the big key changes that Marvel's making in their comics with their characters, and how we feel it's kind of the right move that Marvel should be making right now. One of the big things is starting this week it just came out, was Thor number one, which those of you who don't know, the new Thor is going to be a female character. And not a lot is known about the character right now. The first issue of Thor, they just show her without really yet introducing her. The first issue just kind of brings you up to speed on what's happening in the Thor universe. Basically what's happening right now is Thor, in Original Sin, there was a big showdown that happened, and in the middle of it, in the fray, Nick Fury came up to Thor and whispered something to him, and immediately he dropped the hammer, Mjolnir, and now cannot pick it back up. And
is this episode gonna be us spoiling the comics?
No, not really. I mean, it's like, if people, like, you know, are listening, you know, they're gonna know that there's a new Thor. They're gonna kind of want to know why. Well, but I'm not gonna, like, it's not spoiling a whole lot of stuff. Okay, there's spoiler alerts.
There you go. Sorry if you wanted to read the comic.
Oh well, but
Keith Badger over here got to tell you everything that happened in it. So
I'm not telling you everything. I'm just if you read the like, all the important parts. I didn't read Original Sin, but like, I read the first issue, and it tells all of that in the beginning of the first issue.
Anyway,
let's move on. Captain fucking Thor now is a female. I know you have a lot of strong opinions about that.
My strong opinions is that it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my opinion. I mean, yes, that's my opinion. What else am I supposed to say to that?
I don't know. Like, I mean, you have a strong opinion about it. Like, obviously, there's a reason why.
I thought I was kind of going to get a stronger lead-in into that, that, like, I could address some specific points about, like, why this is a good thing.
Well,
yes, it's a good thing, because okay, we need more women in comics.
Right. And especially taking a spearheader for Marvel, you know, one of the big three, and making that a female character is a huge deal.
Indeed.
I mean, the big three for the longest time, not even just the big three, but like, anybody you go up to and you ask them, who's your favorite comic book character? Generally, the character that they're going to say is a white male. I mean,
there's like a 99.9% chance.
Right.
So, yes.
Right. Like, generally, like I said, like, most people, it's either going to be, you know, a lot of people stick to, you know, Spider-Man, Batman. Some people will say Cap. You know, a lot of people will say Superman, I guess. There are people out there that like Superman.
Sorry, Superman fans. You're just trying to alienate everybody right here, aren't you? Hey, fuck you, Superman fans. Don't come back.
Right. But no, like, generally, like, Superman's not my deal. That's why I'm like, there's people that like Superman. But yeah, so those are kind of the big ones that a lot of people say that, you know, they're a fan of this hero. More recently, with the Marvel movies kind of becoming a bigger thing, more people are starting to say Iron Man. He is starting to finally get a good fan basis, because before the movie, nobody seemed to really care about Iron Man.
I mean, he's an alcoholic who pretty much lives in his basement. So,
I mean, that's true, but
no, he wasn't like super sexy or anything before the movies started to come out. He was still supposed to be a playboy, but he wasn't like, oh my God, it's Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Like, it was just like, oh, it's Tony Stark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Shellhead.
Right, yeah.
Fucking, yeah. So, yeah. Iron Man is sexy now. That's okay with me. Iron Man's my favorite.
But, yeah, a lot of those people, you go up to and be like, who are your favorite? And, I mean, Thor has never, that I've known of, has never really been somebody's favorite.
I don't know anybody whose
like,
favorite hero
the only
is
Thor. Thing that I've ever seen that Thor was represented as somebody's favorite superhero was the movie Adventures in Babysitting, where the little girl was obsessed with Thor. And to the point where the mechanic that shows up at the end with the long blonde hair and kind of muscly dude, she thinks is Thor. But yeah, that's about it. Like, I can't think of a single person I've talked to that's like, Thor is my shit. But now that, you know, Thor's...
Which, like, if that's you, congrats.
Yeah.
You're very unique, because...
Good on you, man.
Good for you for...
Because, like, a lot of people have issues with the Thor storyline, because whenever they read it...
Fucked.
That's true. But whenever they read it, they have issues with the language. Because, you know, it uses...
I don't understand that. Really? Like, okay... I'm sorry if this offends you, if you're listening to this and that's you, I'm sorry. Like, I just, when people are like, oh, I can't read Thor because of the language, I'm like, you're not reading fucking, like, it's not Shakespeare. Like, people are like, oh, it's too hard.
Right.
It's not Shakespeare. I don't find Shakespeare that hard to read either, but that's just me because I love Shakespeare, but like, Thor comics are not hard to read. Once in a while, they throw out a doth or a thou, and like, that's not difficult.
It's not, but like, there are people
the
that
the font
like,
is different. That I guess that must hurt people's heads a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, a lot of people.
Sorry,
there
sorry
are some
if I'm
people
offending
that just
people,
it, the way that they speak in it, they're not. A big fan of that, which is kind of understandable because, like,
it's
understandable
okay.
in the aspect that, like, most of those people, that's not the way that they talk. So whenever they read the comic, you know, they just it kind of takes them out of it.
They're reading a comic book. Nothing in the comic book is real. That's probably the closest thing to real life there is in that comic book.
I understand.
How does that make any sense?
In the aspect that whenever they're reading it, they're just they get a disconnect because
okay,
you know, when,
if
whenever...
you need a disconnect from your burly blonde Norse god guy and his brother, who is an evil god who likes to run around stealing gold from dwarves. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But God forbid they talk in kind of vaguely, like, sort of historically Anglo-linguistic patterns. Like,
yeah,
that's the deal breaker. That really takes me out of the illusion of this comic book.
And sadly, for some people, that's the case.
I'm sorry. Again, I'm sorry if that's you, but come on, man.
I agree. Come on. For me, it's always been it's just never really, before recently, it never really captured me. The stories just didn't really hit me really hard, which is weird because I love mythology. I've always loved, you know, all sorts of mythology. And you would think that a comic about mythological characters would totally just have me by the guts, but they just... It never really hit a mark until the more recent God of Thunder series. Whenever the God of Thunder series came out and I started reading that, I dug it. I thought it was really amazing. The artwork was fantastic. The storyline was really gripping and it was just really fun and interesting, even though it was kind of dark at times too. But I dug it. I really got into it.
I kind of feel the same. I mean, I'm super huge into mythology. I love mythology, but I was never a really huge fan of Thor. I'm not even sure. I can't really remember. But I don't think I really read that much of God of Thunder even. I read a little bit of it, but I mean, there have been some really good like Thor moments in things. I think the writing in Thor has been getting better. I hope it continues to get better. It was never really, like, a priority for me to pick up, like, the new Thor book. Mm-hmm. Recently, they've kind of been using Thor as, like, this springboard to, like, try out a lot of things that they kind of want to try. A lot of the reason why people don't want to call Thor their favorite superhero is not because the language alienates them. I think it's because Thor is kind of mired in this campiness, this kind of very 70s campiness with, like, the Rainbow Bridge and the kind of strapping blonde guy who, like, doesn't wear a shirt sometimes. And, sure. like, you know, there was the issue where Thor and Loki went cross-dressed at a wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
the time that he got turned into a frog.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, but I think Marvel, you know, for a while they were kind of trying to, like, that's not Thor anymore. Now we're going to do serious Thor, where right. none of that stuff ever happens. And, like, not that they've gone back to, like, the really campy, like, He-Man-esque type of, like, rainbow stuff. Mm. But, like, they're definitely, I think they're doing something correctly with Thor, and that, like a series I've been really enjoying has been Loki, Agent of Asgard, which is just kind of fun. Like, that's just kind of a new take on that character, I guess. Mm-hmm. If, you know, without spoiling any of the issues for you, but, you know, the plot of that series, if you don't know about it, is basically that Loki comes and decides to chill out on Midgard, basically. But he's taken on kind of a younger form, so the last issue I read, which was a while ago, they still haven't explained all of this stuff, but, like, basically, he's not really old Loki anymore. He's, like, young, hip Loki, and, like, they're using this to basically assert the fact that Loki is, I forget which label it was that they gave to him, but somewhere on the gender fluid spectrum. Pardon me, I can't remember which part of the spectrum he's on. But regardless, that's pretty cool because that's canon now, and that's
right.
something that they kind of, and they've really kind of been taking that to heart, I think, at least with the
fact that he's
pansexual, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's the term that they use for him.
But I think also there's some gender fluid stuff.
Right.
But which is great.
The thing that I love is that they took this character that's been forever beaten the ground as a villain and didn't necessarily, like, give him this big, like, revelation. Whenever, you know, Doc Ock became Spider-Man, he had this big revelation moment that made him realize, I want to be a hero now. I want to be the good guy. Loki never had that. He was just like...
Loki just kind of does whatever he wants to do.
I want to do something new for a while.
He kind of just... I like that about him as a character, which is kind of what they're trying to do, is give him this attitude of, like, I can kind of do whatever I want.
Right.
Like, I don't have to be a bad guy. I don't have to be a good guy either. He's not entirely on Midgard, if I can remember correctly, out of his own free will, necessarily.
Right.
They kind of ordered him to be there.
Yeah.
But he's enjoying it. He's pretty much just like, if I have to be here, I'm sure as hell going to enjoy it. So
That's the one thing I love about the cat is, like, you take him and you put him in a situation, he's like, fuck it, I'll go with it.
I'll just do what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I'm pleased that they're kind of expanding on Loki's story. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, to be honest, largely because of Tom Hiddleston and how good he was. And
a lot of people have been showing a lot more
that,
Loki love.
You know, that is kind of not going to... I mean, not for me necessarily, but that's... You know, people liked him a lot in Thor. In the first one, I think people... liked him probably more than Chris Hemsworth.
And then in the Avengers,
people went, like, batshit crazy for him.
Crazy.
And, you know, understandable. Tom Hiddleston did a great job.
It was fantastic.
Fantastic performances. And then, I loved Dark World.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Thor 2 was a great movie, which we can discuss, I guess, at some point. But, right. But he was also great in that, although, you know, I liked Hemsworth in that, too. But I think
Hemsworth definitely came back.
He
with
came
the vengeance,
back. Yeah, he really kind of amped it up.
Yeah,
in that one.
Because like,
not that
like,
he was bad in the other ones, just that
it was campy. It was almost kind of campy.
Yeah,
and like it was going like the original comics versus like Thor now, and I think that right. The movies really showed that. Is that the movies were kind of sticking with the original idea of what Thor was, and that I believe that Thor came out before the God of Thunder series. That first Thor movie. If I do remember correctly, because I believe God of Thunder came out shortly around whenever Avengers 2 came out.
That's right. Thor came out in like 2011, right? 2008.
The first Thor was 2011, roughly.
Right, before the Avengers.
And the new Thor started coming out like 2012, 2013.
Yeah. Right, that's right. Yes. Okay.
So I think that they took a page out of the comic book at that point where they were like, okay, well, Thor's actually not being campy anymore. He's not being this kind of ridiculous, mother wear without drapes.
Yeah. The kind of gritty-ish reboot.
Right.
They never kind of did a gritty reboot for Thor.
That's
which
true.
I respect,
they just
kind of like, we're not going to do the really campy shit.
They
kind of
grew him up a little bit where like, he's like, okay, I've been on Midgard for a while now. I'm not this air-brained, oh, I'm only a god. I only know a god's ways. Like, he's been on Midgard for a while. He knows the game. He knows how things are run there. And he's not a complete idiot. Like, he doesn't look at everything like it's brand new. Like, look at that car. I've never seen one of those before. What is this monstrosity?
Kind of
no, he's just kind of that dude that just happens to have a whole lot of power.
They've kind of gotten rid of the whole Don Blake thing.
Yeah.
Which... I was never a fan of that in the comics. I thought that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, a relic of a time when that was standard for
it's
superheroes.
True.
Was that they had to have the alter ego. Whereas now, they don't really have to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm glad that they got rid of Don Blake. I know that was kind of a sad story, though. I have read parts of kind of where he died, went away. I forget what the deal with him
was.
But it was sad.
Yeah, it was weird.
I remember. Sorry, again, not a big Thor historian, so too bad Mark's not here. I'm sure he could like quote me panel for panel. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm glad what they're doing with Loki has impressed me. I think it's an interesting development in terms of those two characters because they're kind of, at least last I read, they're kind of Thor and Loki are kind of getting along now at this point.
And now, like with the changes that are coming in the Thor universe. Thor is no longer the Thor, he's no longer going to be the god of power anymore. He's kind of weak now. And, some things are going to start happening to him in the universe now that he doesn't have control of the hammer anymore. So it's interesting that they're not only going to just have this female Thor.
They're going to still have
other Thor.
But like powerless Thor.
But powerless.
Which is interesting.
Like he still has god blood in him, so he still
right.
Has
I mean, obviously he's still
power.
Thor. The only thing that's different is he's not worthy anymore.
Right, and so that means he can't fly anymore. He's not invulnerable to as much stuff
anymore.
He's
a big Norse blonde.
He's just a big Norse blonde guy that still likes to fight.
Yeah,
like and so
and
it's
still kind of an idiot.
Is still an idiot.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a big moment in the Thor one that I'm not going to spoil.
Well, that's a first.
That's not a first. But there's a big moment in the Thor 1 issue with Thor that, like, him kind of trying to deal with not having the hammer anymore. And I'm really curious to see the story because they're really keeping this chick a mystery, the chick that's now taking up the Thor mantle. As far as the first issue, you get just a very small teaser glimpse of her. But apparently the next issue is supposed to really bring her into full swing. And I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, that's also what they did with Kamala, Kamala Khan, when they were about to introduce her, is they put her in Captain Marvel number 17, I think it was.
Yeah.
They just a little glimpse at the end, which was like that that issue sold out so fast because just because of that.
Yeah.
Which
I eventually in this I did want to get to Kamala a little bit.
Yes.
But sticking into the big three, the other huge change that's coming this way is Captain America. That
yes.
Steve Rogers in a battle with one of the newer villains.
Who cares? Fuck. Steve Rogers isn't Captain America anymore.
Gets his powers drained. So now he's an old man. So now Steven Rogers cannot be Captain America. He doesn't have the serum in him anymore. So he's this frail old man who isn't able to battle, but still wants to be a part of the world and still wants to have some kind of fight in him, decides that since he can no longer be Cap, he wants somebody else to take over. And he handpicks Sam, who is currently the Falcon, to be the new Captain America. And
yay.
And this is a huge thing because yay. First yay. Of all, Sam deserves a lot more love.
Sam Wilson is the best character. Like, period. Just ever.
First of all, love. A lot of love for Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers,
You know,
has been a pivotal character in the Marvel universe.
You gotta. There's. It's impossible not to love Steve Rogers. I mean, exactly. You love Steve Rogers. Like, right. He's Captain America. There's. Exactly. There's literally nothing wrong with him. He's like, right. And that's the only flaw that there is that. Well
not
he
just
has
that.
More flaws than, like, say, Superman. Which, sorry, Superman fans, don't come back. But. He has flaws, but
he has flaws in the aspect
he's
that...
He's the all-American guy. You have to American like him guy. Because he's that.
The big problem with Cap is he's so outdated right now.
He's very... You know, I mean, I think they kind of played nicely off of that in the Avengers with that line where they were like, we could use a little old-fashioned or whatever it is that Coulson says. But, like, it's true. Captain America is, you know... Captain America was introduced to punch Nazis in the face, which they've kind of made into a joke now, which is fine. But that, you know, obviously that purpose hasn't been useful for the past, 70 years?
Hydra's around, but
kind
like,
of. I mean, they're trying to bring Hydra back, but they're only trying to do that so that Cap can have something to do, really.
Yeah, and like, I mean, Red Skull is coming back again with the whole Axis.
Which, wow, original Red Skull again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But you know, that being said, Cap is just, he's out of touch with this generation. He's not from this time. He's not from this generation.
Which I think is kind of cool, but...
It's hard for him to fight for issues when...
Yeah.
They're not the issues that he understands.
Which, like, I think could be kind of cool if they wanted to do that very seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, my personal belief is that because Steve Rogers is Steve Rogers, like, everything that we fight about, like, fucking... Basically, all of these equal rights issues, he would be like, equal rights for everybody. Like, he'd be very into that, I feel like. Yeah. So if they wanted to tackle that, like, really seriously and do kind of a very introspective arc about how people are like, well, you can't know because you were born in 1921 or whatever.
Right.
But I think it could be interesting if they decided to explore it like that, but that's kind of not the route they're going right now, which is fine. I just think it could be kind of cool if they decided to do that. I think it's not impossible for them to, like, make him free, for them to make Cap relevant, I guess.
But the great thing is the fact that making Cap now Sam is, first of all...
Is the best decision
Sam
ever.
Sam was a social worker for years. Sam knows what's going on with the problems of this current generation. He's seen the corruption and problems that this generation has firsthand, several times.
Sam Wilson is my favorite character.
Second of all, Sam's not a soldier. In the continuity of the 616, Sam is not a soldier. They've changed that in the movies and in the Ultimate Universe, Sam is. But in the 616, the main continuity, Sam is not. He's not a soldier. So he doesn't have that basic instinct that Steve has to follow orders.
Sam Wilson is awesome.
So we'll finally have a Captain America that, yes, will fight for the people and fight for what's right, but at the same time isn't going to be that guy that's like, you've got to do this, soldier, and he's going to be like, whatever you say, sir.
Although, I don't know if that's even fair to say about Steve. I mean, the whole Civil War happened because he didn't follow orders.
That's completely true.
So,
that is 100% true. But there have been a lot of problems regarding other things that Steve has followed, orders as a soldier.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, I haven't really thought about that. That's not really, like, that's not something. But, like, if you had to point out, like, one thing, like, one reason why it's great that Sam Wilson is Captain America, that would not be my reason. Because, like,
it's not my big punch, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
Huge factor.
Yes.
Because he's going to have a lot more things that he's concerned about than just the general...
Not just more things, just different things.
Just different things. Because, like, you know, Steve is a soldier. So there's been a lot of things and fights that he's went into with that soldier mentality. And with somebody who's not, there's a different perspective there. And especially the fact that you're going to have two perspectives throughout this series because, you know, Sam is going to be Cap, but at the same time, Cap is going to still be, like, the tactician, the one that kind of gives him information and helps him along in his process, much very similar to that of, like, Batman Beyond, where, you know, Bruce Wayne has been the voice of McGinnis and being kind of guiding him along.
Whatever, fuck, who cares? An old white guy, yay. I don't care.
But, so... You know, there's still going to be the voice of Steve Rogers in there. You're still going to have Steve being a part of the Captain America series. He's just not going to be the guy in the fights.
I don't care. You're welcome.
Thanks. But yeah, and I'm really excited about these two big names being changed because taking huge characters and a lot of people are saying that, oh, they're just doing it because they're trying to be politically correct, which people who say that, first of all, you need to know what being politically correct is.
Which, first of all, okay, no. I don't care about fucking politeness for this shit.
Right.
Because for those of you who don't know, maybe you're just listening to this and you don't know that much about comics, Sam Wilson is a black man. So it got a whole lot of publicity that, oh my God, they're going to make Captain America a black guy, which for some reason angered a whole lot of white people. I don't mean for some reason. I think we all know what the fucking reason is.
Yeah.
But if you are one of those people who's listening to this and you're like, oh, they can't make Captain America a black guy, that's not American, go fuck yourself. Just go look at yourself in the mirror. Take a long fucking look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself how you got to be such a sad human being. Just go. Hit pause on this right now and do that. Go look in the mirror. And then when you come back, or don't come back. I don't care, because honestly,
a lot of people... are saying that it's this big PR move.
Ugh.
That they're changing a two male characters into a female and a black guy.
Oh, God forbid we get some more representation here.
Right, and like that's my big thing is like, so what?
How about you ask the people who actually like represent those minorities,
right,
in the comic book world, right, what they think of this? I guarantee you they will not be like, and this is a PR stunt and I am bitter about this.
And it's not like they're going through and taking every character and making it now either a woman or a black guy. They're just doing it with two that are very prominent characters, and that's awesome.
But no, that jeopardizes the ego of all of the frail white men
who read
comic books. How dare they marginalize the white neckbeards who frequent comic book shops? How dare they? Don't they know that they're the only ones who buy comics?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, we've had all kinds of white male superheroes throughout generations.
Do we really even need to explain this?
No, I mean,
you can explain it, but like, if you need this explained to you, go do the same thing I told the other people. Go fucking look in the mirror and ask yourself some important questions.
So, we've had plenty of white characters. We've had generations of these characters being white. And if you want to keep those characters in your mind, just continue to read those old comic books. You've still got those.
You will not be missed.
Guess who doesn't have a representation of
Captain America? Everyone who's not a white male.
Exactly.
Literally everyone.
We've had generations, and this is coming from a white male. I've had generations of a white Captain America. I've had years of a white Captain America. I'd like to see a black one.
And you know what? The people, and I don't want to hear from people who are like, oh, that's not true. There are female superheroes and there are black superheroes. There's a difference between representation and positive representation. Mm-hmm. That's something that people don't really do not seem to get. Because when they revamp these characters for a new age because they're like, you know what, this just isn't acceptable anymore, then people are like, oh, it's pandering. They're taking away the characters that we love. Well, the characters that you love as a white male might not, those can be harmful to people who are not white males, which is something that people don't seem to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we had Miss Marvel before she was Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. She's a pretty good character back then. She's a great character now.
Oh, yeah.
But she's a pretty good character back then. And so people are like, oh, you had, I mean, out of all of the characters, I mean, they might not necessarily point to Miss Marvel, but she's a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, oh, but you had Miss Marvel. Stop complaining you need more women in comics. Well, the fact that Miss Marvel was wearing pretty much a swimsuit while she was flying around fighting crime does not help. The fact that she was so afraid of men, like, okay, that's interesting, but not when you write it to the fact that, like, she literally is, incapable of doing things.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Not saying that that's not something that happens in real life, but just the fact that, like, that's how we have to have the female superhero with such a huge, glaring weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her sexuality, pretty much.
Right.
She was also an alcoholic because of that.
True.
So basically, her life fucking sucked. And she ran around wearing a swimsuit. Anyway, that's representation. Is it good representation? No.
No.
Oh, but you had black superheroes. You had, like, Luke Cage, you had Power Man. Power Man was created as a jive-talking black guy to be a counterpart to another white guy, which, you know, Luke and Danny have a great friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to argue that. That's a great relationship that they
Amazing
have.
Amazing friendship.
But, I mean, is anybody really going to look at, like, the 70s comics with Luke Cage and say, like, this is a good representation of a black man?
Yeah,
like,
look at that afro.
Look at that, and he, like, calls people turkeys and,
right.
and things. Like, it's...
And then they finally decided that that wasn't the way that they wanted that character to be betrayed.
And then they're changing characters. They don't like it. Oh, and then,
Luke Cage a real voice. And made him a real person.
They made him a cool character. And, not like, again, it's the camp factor. Right. He was a campy character. Right. They made him a cooler character. And people complained about it because they were like, mm-hmm. this isn't the Luke Cage I know. Well,
the Luke Cage you know was a stereotype.
Exactly.
Yeah, like.
Sorry, we're trying to improve the writing of this shit.
And, like, it just made him a far more interesting and great character. And now, like, he's getting his own Netflix series. Like,
which is awesome.
It's amazing.
So
and they put more onto the character. They gave him a relationship. They gave him a reason to fight more. You know, gave him a child that, like, gives him more grounds to want to go out and write the world. Like, they just made him a
They
more
made him a character.
Character.
They made him a character.
No, they made him a character. Right.
Which is also what they did with Miss Marvel when she became Captain Marvel. Right. To be fair, that the series had been going in that direction with Miss Marvel prior to that, but that was kind of really when that change happened to make mm-hmm. her, like, really a player in the Marvel universe. Which, like, people who have as much representation as they want do not realize the importance of having representation.
That's true.
If somehow you are one of the people who thinks that more representation is a bad thing and you are still listening to this, then kudos to you. But also, I guarantee you that if that is your viewpoint, you probably had some character in your life as a child, that impacted you and that shaped who you are. Imagine if that character didn't look like you and there were no characters that looked like you. Maybe you would still be inspired by that character, but at the end of the day, that character doesn't look like you and has not had the same life experiences that you have. That makes a difference. And people who have all the representation that they want tend to say, oh, it doesn't matter. there's no, you know, we're colorblind, we're blind to, you know, gender equality. It doesn't matter. Everybody's equal, basically. Mm-hmm. That's not true. That's just not true. It's never going to be true. And, you know, it's tough to grow up and not see people in the media who look like you. And if you are one of the people who think that this doesn't matter and that all that's happening here is pandering and nothing good is going to come of this and that they're ruining your favorite characters, just think about what your life would be like if you had nothing to look up to in the media that could reflect who you are as a person and where you come from and what you're going to have to deal with in your life.
Because, like, for me, I can't imagine if I didn't have Peter Parker. If I grew up as a kid without having that Peter Parker character out there and being able to see him and looking so much like me and saying the kind of things that I say, but yet being this great, better version of what a human can be, if I didn't have that growing up as a kid, I wouldn't have the mindset that I have now.
Yeah. Representation is so important.
It's so important because, like, these are the characters that feed our youth. These are the ones that make our minds and our imaginations grow. You know, I mean, you look at so many heroes that are out there, so many important characters generally are white males. Like, I mean, you look at all these big characters, you look at all these superheroes, you look at, like, characters like the Doctor or...
Which, don't get me started on that fucking shit.
I know. But, like, characters like the Doctor, James Bond. I mean,
actually,
so many...
you know what? Don't bother naming them all.
Right.
Because, you know what?
It's
going to...
I mean, Luke Skywalker. It's a long list of these white male protagonists that just dominate these fields. Harry Potter. I mean, it just continues.
Stop naming
I'm
them.
Sorry. It goes
We're
on and
be
on.
Here forever.
It goes on and on. The fact that Marvel's trying to put an end to that, they're not even putting an end to it, but trying to shift gears a little bit. Trying to give a little bit more.
Let's be fair, lest people call us naive. Yes, Marvel is a business.
True.
Is this a business decision?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
everything they
is.
Do is a business
yeah,
decision.
It's true.
They're a business. Their goal is to make money. If they didn't think this would make them money, they probably would not be doing it.
Right.
But is that the point? No. The point is that, you know, you're going to have little girls who can read Thor and see that Thor looks like them and mm-hmm. that they can be... strong like Thor,
right.
And you're gonna have black kids who can read Captain America and be recognized as you know all of the stuff we've been seeing with Ferguson, where you know we've just been having the most atrocious. I can't even like put. I am far from the most qualified to speak about what's going on
right.
in Ferguson and what continues to go on in Ferguson. If you think that what has been happening in Ferguson is over, you're 100% wrong. Just the most atrocious situations of racial relations we've been having mm-hmm. going on. The fact that we can give kids things to look at that would say this is who I can be, and this then the people can accept me
mm-hmm.
for being this is important. If you don't
it's
think
so
that's
important,
go home.
Like, and it just,
go home and,
it,
and
like not even just giving a main hero to kids, especially you know black kids, but giving them this character that represents America. Like this is Captain America.
I mean, Captain America is the character,
right? Like, he's red, white, and blue, 100%.
Which is
like,
why I think that's why, you know, white men's rights activists were angry about Thor being a woman. But
right.
they were, I think, probably, well, I think probably some of them were more angry about Thor being a woman. But I read a lot of angry Reddit threads
mm-hmm.
with men complaining, white men complaining that Captain America was going to become black because
right.
that's not American.
Which, like,
just
I
think about what you're saying.
I haven't just seen
second.
People saying that just because it's not American. But, like, there's a lot of people saying that, like, they just, that's not Captain America to them. Steve Rogers is Captain America. Why would you take Steve Rogers away
well,
from being
Captain
America?
Well, you know what?
Captain
you know
America?
Who's also been Captain America? Bucky Barnes.
Which, some people say that they weren't even a fan of that whenever
Bucky
took on the mantle.
You know, if your point of view is that Steve Rogers is Captain America to you, and that's just, and like, you don't want Sam Wilson to become Captain America because Steve Rogers is your Captain America, and that's literally the only thing that motivates you, that's fine. But like, read the book, give it a chance. If you don't like it because you're like, you know what, this is fine, but like, I just don't like Sam as Captain America, that's fine. You're totally entitled to have that opinion. Right. I'm not saying that like, you must love Sam Wilson as Captain America.
You should.
But what I'm objecting to is people saying, I refuse to like Sam Wilson as Captain America because he's not white. Not because he's not Steve Rogers, because he's not white.
But like, what I'm saying is, in defense of a lot of people that are saying that they're not fans of the change, aren't saying it because he's not white. Some of them are saying it because they just don't believe that the mantle should be changed.
That's fair.
Right.
I think that that's wrong, because I think the fact that I think that's something that majorly holds the comic industry back is this fear of change.
Agreed.
This like toxic fear of changing
characters out of their mantles. A lot of people have problems with this, getting rid of these classic heroes and stuff. And I believe that that's idiotic. I believe that not only should they change things up and maybe pass on some of the mantles, I also feel that some of them they should kind of let go and bring in new characters, fresh characters.
Or just, you know, you don't even have to, bring in new characters, or just give some older characters that haven't really gotten a chance to kind of shine, just to, I mean, it's, there's only, you can only watch the same four white guys going around punching things for so long before it gets boring. And that's, you know, I mean, and yet, which, you know, people complain. They're like, we want new stories. We want better stories. And yet they complain when people try to change anything in the industry.
How can you?
We want new stories, but we want them to be exactly the same as the old ones.
Right. How can you have new stories with the same cats reenacting the same fucking play over and over again?
It's this weird, like, paradoxical loop that comic book fans, that some comic book fans live in. Where, you know, they don't want to change anything, but they want everything to be new.
Right.
Which is, as a creator, impossible.
Right.
I mean, just logically impossible, but
logically
also
impossible. Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to tell like your artists and writers. They want something new, but also they want the old thing. Like
what?
Reboots of old series, I guess.
Yeah.
Like that's what you want.
Fucking
okay.
Let's take Spider-Man and put him in a different year. Like
all right.
1602.
Okay.
Which
2099.
1602 is a good series though. I will say
so
that.
Yeah. So is 2099 really is a good character.
But
so
2099
not,
is still somebody completely different though.
That's true.
That's the big thing. Like,
that's true.
They still made a change to that character to make it interesting.
That's true.
Now, as far as introducing new characters and giving more representation...
Do we get to talk about Kamala Khan now?
Now we get to talk about Kamala.
As much as I love Sam Wilson, and believe me, I am excited for that team up.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sam. Let me just... Also, I just want to put that out on the record. I love Sam Wilson as a character. Before we move on to Kamala...
Yeah.
Who I'm super excited to talk
about.
Sam
Wilson.
I love Sam Wilson.
Before this even happened.
Yeah. I am a huge Sam Wilson fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy with him in Winter Soldier. They did a great job. Anthony Mackie did a fantastic job.
Anthony Mackie not only did a fantastic job, but loves that character.
Yeah, and he loves the Falcon so much.
Right.
That you can just tell.
And just gave so much life to that character that needed it.
And Anthony Mackie, also, you can go look up some... Anthony Mackie's had some good things to say about why having the Falcon on screen and in the books is so important.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably says it better than I do. But,
dude is just
dude
so...
Dude is well-spoken.
Amazing.
But yeah, they just did a great job of showing off Steve and Sam's friendship. So that's something that I'm hoping they're going to keep up in the books, which I'm sure they will because they've always done a great job of that.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's just worth mentioning before we move on to Kamala that Sam was really kind of the first black superhero to be kind of held in the same light as a white superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was not a sidekick. He was not...
They were partners.
The butt of a joke. They were partners and they were best friends. And that
was... And he was taken... As ridiculous as his costume looked...
I thought it was great. I love his old Falcon
He was
costume.
Taken seriously.
And he was a serious superhero. And he was not, you know, a joke or something to be, you know, laughed at or derided.
No. He was a serious
He was just a guy
who had passions and feelings and an amazing backstory.
So the fact that they've kind of done nothing with the Falcon had always been disappointing to me.
Right.
Because he's such an important character, and a lot of people who kind of are new to comic books or maybe just don't know that much about Captain America or whatever don't even, well, might not even necessarily know that he exists.
True.
Which is really sad to me, just because he's such a great character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy that they're bringing him in. Anyway, now we can move on to talk about Kamala, because I really want to talk about Kamala.
Okay. Kamala Khan. Yes. Okay. As a kind of setup for this, in the Marvel Universe, there was this this big thing that happened with the Inhumans, where the Inhumans kind of fell apart, and there was a Terrigen Bomb that went off and spread throughout the world.
Get to the good part. Get to the part where I get to talk about my favorite character.
Part of this mist that spread out started waking up the inhuman capabilities in a lot of people. And it seems that whenever the mist spread into New Jersey, that it affected this girl who lived there. Now, Kamala Khan is...
I'm so excited to talk
...is everybody's fantasy. Kamala Khan grows up learning about superheroes. She lives in a world of superheroes.
Kamala Khan is so important for so many different reasons, mm-hmm. because Kamala Khan goes back to the... Kamala Khan is, I think, probably... I don't follow a whole lot of, like, the kind of off-universe stuff, mm-hmm. but... So, I'm probably wrong about this, but Kamala Khan is really the first, like, teenage superhero they've kind of put... Actually, I think she's the first teenage superhero in a while that they've let have a solo book.
That they've had a solo book.
They have a lot of teenage superheroes who have team books.
You've got the Runaways, you've got the Young Avengers.
Which are pretty great for the most part. But she's the kind of the first, she's kind of returning to the roots of the superhero genre, which, you know, started off, almost all of them were, you know, high school or college age kind of kids.
A good portion, some of them.
Some of them.
I mean, the main
that
one
was a big trope.
Parker
was a big one. Right. Parker was kind of the first. But that became kind of a trope. Or at least, if they were older, they had either a sidekick or an alter ego
younger. Who became a hero as they went along. I mean, with the Fantastic Four, you know, you had Sue and Reed, who were kind of the older, and Ben, but you had Johnny,
who was the younger one. So you have, it's kind of a staple of comic books that you have to have that one character who's kind of on the younger side.
But usually they got teamed up with a lot of older people.
Kamala is a solo character.
Completely starts off on her own. No big influences around her. But, you know, she did grow up in a world of these superheroes, so she loves superheroes. This is a girl that writes fan fictions.
Let me explain. I'll take it from here. Let me explain. All
right.
First, I want to talk about just the book itself first, not just her character at first. This is the... How many printings is the first issue on now?
Like the sixth?
The last I heard that I was keeping up with, it was on a fourth printing. That is unprecedented.
That's amazing.
Especially for a new superhero, especially for a female superhero, and especially for a superhero, a female superhero who is not white, because Kamala Khan is Pakistani.
And not even just Pakistani.
She's a Muslim Pakistani.
Right.
The fact that this book... I think it has now surpassed... I'm almost 100% sure it's now surpassed... It surpassed its fourth printing. The fact that, you know... I was looking forward to this book. I did not put it on reserve at any of my shops. So I was not able to get a copy until the second printing. But, you know, this has been on my anticipated list of books for a while. And this got a lot of hype, a lot of publicity before it came out, and it has been, I think, probably one of the best-selling new books that Marvel has had in a long, long time.
As soon as it hit the racks, it just
flew
left.
Off the rack. And, you know, the second issue went into a second printing and a third printing, and it might still be...
Ms. Marvel number 3 just went into its third printing.
That is insane.
Ms. Marvel number 6, which, mind you... They are on number 8 right now?
Yes.
Is already in its second printing.
Which is insane. This is an industry that is having trouble selling books to begin with. The fact that, and you know, the test for a comic book series is generally, can it make it to the sixth issue? Past the sixth issue, if it's not selling well, it's dead.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's dead.
Yeah.
And so I remember reading an interview with one of the creators of Ms. Marvel, of the new series. I forget which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
But she was basically saying, let's show people that we can get this book to a sixth issue. Not let's show people that we can get this book to a sixth printing on its first issue. Let's just show people that there's enough interest to get this to its sixth issue.
Right.
The fact that it's still going into multiple reprints at its sixth issue is amazing.
Right.
That's incredible.
Like, okay. Just to give you this grasp, okay? Whenever comic books are created, they generally predict how many of that issue are going to be sold. A lot of comic shops and stuff get subscribers, and they give those to the company, who then print out as many books as they believe that they're going to need. The fact that this comic is going into multiple printings means that people, not only that are subscribing, are going and getting out these comics.
They're continuing to read the comics.
They're continuing to go out, and more people than they are expecting
to read
are
it,
going
are
out.
Still picking it up. That means that new people are still picking up this book. And this book is on its eighth issue now, I think it's eighth.
Roughly, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's fantastic.
Like, the first one, you could maybe say, okay, people are buying it. Because they want to know what's
up with
it.
They want to know what's going on.
It's gotten a lot of press.
Right.
Whatever. And, you know, some people, because there are people like this in the world, some people would say, oh, that doesn't count. Those people aren't comic book fans. The fact that this book has now gone into and its umpteenth printing means that this got people who are not into comics into comics.
You know how you make comic book fans? You give them a comic they want to read.
Yeah, and this is a comic that people want to read. Let me tell you why. Let's get into the actual story now, shall we?
Okay.
First of all, this series is written by women.
Mm-hmm.
I believe penciled by women. I could be wrong about that.
I think that they've had a few issues that weren't.
They've had a couple of issues that weren't, but I'm pretty sure that it's
for
penciled
the majority
by women. I'm not sure about the inks, but I'm pretty sure it's inked by women.
Although, again, I think it's
don't
kind
of quote me on
very,
that. I'm not sure about the lettering, but even a series that's entirely written by women is pretty rare.
It's amazing. So not only is the writing smart, is really funny and interesting, the artwork is amazing. It's not super cartoony, but they have fun with it.
Don't go read the book.
It's a fun book to just look at and read.
It's a great art style. It's one of my favorite art styles that we have nowadays in comic books. The writing is fantastic, but you should not take our word for it on that. You should just go read it.
You should.
The reason the character is so great is because Kamala Khan is a Pakistani Muslim teenager who is a New Jersey native who loves New Jersey,
another important thing about this character is it's a character whose family is all alive. She has not had
she hasn't
a tragic
had any dead family members
death.
Yet. They're all alive.
That's
I kind of haven't thought about
that's
that.
That's kind of a big
that's
thing.
That's true. That is a big
that's
thing.
That's a huge thing
yeah,
for
there's
a
no,
character.
Like, tragic past.
She
death,
lives at home with her
wood,
family.
But I mean,
who her family loves her and cares about her very deeply.
Yeah. And she Kamala, like Keith said, is a geek. She's a geek.
Super
girl.
Geek.
She loves comics. She she writes Avengers fan fiction. Like this is the kind of character that she is. And she idolizes in particular Carol Danvers, who I mentioned before, was Miss Marvel and then recently
became
Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And who's a great character in and of herself.
Hi.
But Kamala idolizes Carol. And so when she gets hit with this kind of inhuman mist thing, Terrigen, whatever, I don't, whatever.
The Terrigen mist, yeah.
Terrigen mist. She, you know, kind of transforms into Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel.
She has this
because
weird
she has this
fantasy.
Vision that like Carol has like come to her and like
is like calling
her,
upon
her,
powers, kind of,
which is interesting.
It's really cool.
But so basically, Kamala ends up finding out that she's become a shapeshifter, kind of. She has, you know, she doesn't have the same powers as Captain Marvel. She kind of
She can change her appearance.
She's a shapeshifter in that she can change her appearance, but she also has, like, stretchy limbs.
Can make herself grow.
Right.
Can enlarge in and small in herself, you know, akin to Ant-Man. And she also finds out that she can heal herself.
Right. She also has a healing factor. But the first, like, two or three issues of the book are her just figuring out how her powers work.
Right. And a big thing about this, and that makes this book so amazing for everybody, is the fact that starting off in the series, Kamala, whenever she fights, takes on the appearance of Carol.
Right.
Of Miss Marvel in her old costume.
Yes.
And is because, first of all, that's
just who she kind of thought of first as like a superhero.
And second of all, it's what she expected people to see.
Yeah. That's what she kind of thought people wanted to see.
Right.
As a superhero. And not until the third or fourth issue or so that she kind of decides that she doesn't have to look like someone else to be a superhero. And she can just kind of be herself. Obviously, you know, for the two or three issues after that, she's kind of making herself her own costume and kind of figuring out how that works.
And that is a lot of fun stuff.
That's fun. Those are fun. Yeah, it's not really until kind of the fourth or fifth issue that she kind of really decides that she doesn't have to pretend to be someone else, and she can really kind of be her own superhero and represent people who need representing. And
as soon as she comes out as herself, she doesn't tell people that Kamala Khan is Miss Marvel, but as she comes out looking like a Pakistani girl, as, you know, this new Miss Marvel, everybody just accepts her in the community. And it's amazing. It's just it's a great thing for people of all creeds to be able to see this character just being like, I want to be me. I don't want to be somebody else. It's a fantastic message.
It's very cool. It's also, you know, it's one of those stories where before she got her powers, she was kind of trying to fit in with people who didn't really like her.
She was having a lot of struggles.
And who, you know, were not necessarily openly bullying her. She wasn't necessarily being, like, pushed into lockers or anything.
It was great because there was a lot of backhanded
was a lot of just kind of prejudice, just institutional kind of racism.
Yeah.
That with people making comments about, you know, her religion and her family background. Mm-hmm.
Aren't you not allowed to go and do this because of your background?
Right. And just, like, I want to make sure you're not being, like, repressed at home.
Right.
That sort of thing. Which, you know, speaking of her home life, which we haven't really talked about too much, her family is kind of devoutly religious.
Yes.
Which is something else that is interesting for her because they haven't really addressed how she necessarily feels about her religion. They have a little bit.
Because, like, I mean, she's a very modern day girl.
Right.
And she does revere people of her religious community. There's an episode or an issue where she's kind of having an episode of faith, where she's not quite sure in believing in herself, and her parents tell her that she has to go and talk to their faith leader, and she goes and talks to this guy, and she kind of like tells him what's going on in her life without giving too much away, and the way that he speaks to her and kind of gives her hope again is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It really plays into that she does have faith. She's not completely devout like the rest of her family, mm-hmm. but she does have faith.
Her brother in particular is especially devout. He's kind of studying to become, I don't remember what position he's actually trying to study to.
But he's trying to become some kind of faith leader.
You're right. And she has friends who are kind of, who are more religious than she is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's very cool. It's, you know, their religion in Ms. Marvel is explored in the same way it's explored in any other comic, which is, it's not a big deal.
Right.
and if it is a big deal, it's because of something that happens in the story, but it's not negative.
Right.
It's just it's a reality.
It's not like, we're trying to shove this religion down your throat so you can accept this religion. It's like, hey, this is, you know, how this happens. Like, this is what this religion is.
I mean, it's just, it's, I mean, it's just, she's just, I get overwhelmed, like, talking about Kamala, because she's such a great character on so many different levels, and so important. Like, she's important to me. Kamala Khan is my role model, and I'm older than she is, but, like,
and, like, she's kind of, she's one of my role models, too, and, like, I'm a white male, like, she's a role model for me, man, because, like, first of all, super geek, and I love her. And the fact that, like, I have problems with trying to figure out who I want to be, if I want to be myself or if I want to be somebody else. And being able to see this character go out and be like, no, man, I want to be me, gives me so much inspiration.
Yeah. And it's just, it gives me a lot of hope, and it makes me really happy, the fact that there are kids, you know, boys, girls, everything in between, you know, of all colors and sexualities and
religions,
and whatever, can read this book and, you know, whether they read comics or not, you know, can find something to relate to in Kamala. Oh, yeah. That makes me so happy that they've written this character that, you know, clearly is having an effect on, you know, kids, but also adults.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes me so happy. And just it's a great book socially for all of those reasons, but it's also just one of the best. It's so well written. Mm-hmm. It's just consistently top notch.
And it's also great because you
we're
get
probably
this,
gushing about this book too much. We're probably like, but Marvel did not pay us to say this.
Right. But no,
I wish they did.
You take this character who's really fun and interesting, who gets to live out our fantasies.
Right.
She gets to meet these heroes that she
she's
grew up loving.
She's always idolized, which is really,
like,
really cool.
She got to meet Wolverine,
yeah,
which was a lot of hilarious moments between those two, where Wolverine actually showed a little soft side to him.
Right, he clearly was taking a shine to her. And
right. She recently just got to meet Lockjaw.
Oh, my puppy.
Which was such an adorable issue. Like, she got to meet
Who
Lockjaw.
Who now she's kind of adopted him.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is really cute.
Which
Lockjaw is a dog.
Once you think about it,
Lockjaw is an inhuman dog with teleportation powers.
He is the dog of Black Bolt.
Who's the king of the Inhumans?
King of the Inhumans, who Black Bolt's missing right now. So
who cares?
Lockjaw,
they don't care about.
Right,
I don't care.
But you know, Lockjaw kind of needs to find a place to go.
Right.
And the fact that he gravitates towards finding Kamala,
right.
he finds her. She doesn't just go and like look
for
somebody.
He seeks her out.
He
yeah.
seems to seek her out. So
which
now
is
she
really cool.
she gets
and
Lockjaw.
She's gonna meet Spider-Man coming up,
amazing.
Obviously, the person everybody's really excited for her to meet is Carol.
Yeah.
When that happens, I can guarantee that that issue is going to go into multiple printings
also.
I mean, that's going to be incredible.
I mean, Carol's in space right now, so
yeah.
it's probably going to be a while before that happens.
But just, I can't imagine how that's going to go.
That's going
to
be amazing.
I mean, there's so many characters, but I'm excited for her to meet them just
like,
personally.
I'm super stoked for her
one.
To meet Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's going to be
really
cool.
I really am going to love that.
I think that's going to be really cool. I want her to meet every character.
I do.
I'm really excited for her to meet, like, everybody. We're probably gushing about this too much, but it just really is, like, the hallmark of what comic books can be for me. And that is just, like, it just makes me so happy. Every time I get a new issue of, which this is also one of the only books that I, like, really have still subscribed to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are other books that I keep up with, but I don't necessarily subscribe to them. This is one that I do, like, keep up my subscription file for, and every time I get an issue, I'm so excited to read it.
Oh, yeah. I just highly, highly recommend going out and picking up some Ms. Marvel for yourself.
If you've never read a comic book in your life, make this the one that you read.
It's just...
I promise you there is something that you will like about it.
Oh, yeah.
If maybe you're the one person in the world who is like, there's really nothing that I like about Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't necessarily want to talk to you. But if you're out there...
I'm kind of curious.
Good for you. I would like to hear why
you don't
like
Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. I just think it's such an incredible book.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so glad that it was allowed to be made.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so thankful for that book
and
every day.
And if you haven't read it, you're just doing yourself a huge injustice.
Yeah. It's a fantastic book.
Okay. So before we leave, want to just
kind of... Now that we're done gushing about Ms. Marvel for literally half of the show.
Just want to go through a few shout-outs.
Again? Jesus, we already gave shout-outs last week.
No, I mean, these are ones that we didn't get a chance to do.
We
just got an intro song.
Oh, right.
And I want to thank the cat who did that, Ethan Stalking Anderson. He did the intro really quick, got this to us, and... I really dig it. Hope you guys dig the intro too.
I don't care. I like it. So.
And if you want to listen to his other stuff, go to soundcloud.com/E57. And you can listen to some of his other stuff. He's done quite a few interesting things.
And you can listen to our theme song in full.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
You can totally listen to our theme song in full there. And also want to give a special thanks, especially since we missed it last episode, a big special thanks to our tech guy, the guy that's getting the sound out there, allowing you to hear our voices. Just want to thank Joey Wheeler for helping us out and doing a solid. Quick side note, funny thing about that, Joey Wheeler is also the name of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Character. And that's hilarious to me because whenever Joey and I first started talking about doing this pod together, I mentioned to him that we were doing a nerd-based culture thing. And he was like, oh man, that's awesome. I enjoy a lot of nerd-based things. I've even been thinking about going out and trying to play some more Yu-Gi-Oh! Again. And at the time, it didn't really dawn on me in my mind his last name. And whenever I talked to Ethan about it and he mentioned his last name, I was like, that is hilarious.
And now you've alienated Joey and he's never going to come back and record this.
Nah, for sure.
Yeah. Joey loves us. All right, so everybody, we want to thank you for listening to us again. We're Co-Ed Co-op. I'm Keith Badger.
I'm Amy Isaac.
And go out, do your thing, and enjoy your life.
And read Miss Marvel.
Good night, folks.